Pleased to be able to introduce Ron Kovic, a very long time peace and justice activist who's with us today. I feel like I've known Ron for years, even though we just recently met and we're able to talk together on KPFK. And if you haven't seen Born on the 4th of July, I suggest you check it out at Blockbusters and see it. It's very, very moving. So thank you, Ron, for being here.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming today. It's an act of citizenship coming today, and it's also an act of courage today. So I want to thank all of you for coming down, for taking the time to come to this very, very important meeting here today. You are part of an important meeting, and what we are dealing with, life and death matters here. So this is important, and we are also serving our country. We are serving our country here today. I just want to thank you. Thank you for participating and for being involved and for having the courage to cross over that line. And it takes courage sometimes to step over that line and to wheel over that line. But it's a wonderful feeling when you do, isn't there? Even though we have just a few numbers here, I think it was Henry David Thoreau, and it might have been Gandhi also, who said that the truth with a minority, a small number of people with the truth makes a majority. So I thank you for making the majority today. The majority. I thank you for making the majority of what is to come in this country today. What is coming. And the future of this country is bright and hopeful. And the future of our young men and our young women in these high schools will be a different future than the future of Ron Kovic and my generation in 1964. When in a high school very similar to this high school, 40 long years ago, yes, it's been a long time. I've been doing this a long time. But I can't think of anything more worthwhile in my life. As I look back over those last 40 years, and I was thinking as I was sitting here before I was about to speak to you, as Fernando spoke, his beautiful words, his important words, his words about service to country, I began to think that maybe it's time for us as Americans, as human beings, as citizens of this country, to begin to give our definition of what service to country is, our definition of what love of country is and what patriotism is. Because I am getting tired of people in Washington, D.C. trying to define what service to country is. Because I know that service to country is not shock and awe bombing of human beings and the wounding of innocent civilians, the occupation of a country and the stealing of the resources of a people. That is brutal. That is criminal. That's immoral. That is not patriotic. That's not what I want my country to represent. So I think it's time that we, when Fernando said that someone came up to him and told him to be quiet, to shut up, no one tells Fernando to shut up. No one tells Fernando to shut up. Because Fernando and courageous people like Fernando are the most important voices in the United States right now, the most important. And Fernando, who is a national treasure, Fernando's voice is more important than any president of the United States, any Donald Rumsfeld, any Cheney, or any of these people who are promoting this policy that is killing and that is maiming, that is making us here at home even greater targets of terror. We're not going to stand for this. And these numbers in these auditoriums are going to continue to grow. This is just the beginning. Because we have every intention of not only stopping this war, but of changing our country, of putting people like Fernando first, and people like George Bush and the warmongers and the war makers last and always last. 40 years ago in an auditorium just like this, I sat out there with 150, 200 young students. And I listened to Marines who came to our school that day. There were no alternatives. There were no organizations. How I wished 40 years ago that I could have listened to you rather than the Marine recruiters that day. Though they said wonderful things about service to country, and they talked about patriotism. They talked about sacrifice. I wish only that I could. That's how important you are. That's why I want you to know today how important all of you are, the students who came today, the teachers who have come today, all of you, the organizers. I do not want you to leave this place without knowing how important and precious, how crucial you are to the situation that's happening right now. This is a very serious situation. This is life and death. We're dealing with the life and death issues. We're dealing with young men and women who will come home and be psychological casualties of that war. We are fighting a desperate fight, an important and courageous struggle. We are here today, and I got up this morning knowing in my heart that I was coming down here not just for a gathering like many of our gatherings. I was coming down here on an important mission to save lives. Not to kill, not to maim, not to oppress, not to occupy. But here in this auditorium today, our service to country has to do with caring. It has to do with compassion. It has to do with understanding, knowing that what the course that this country's on right now is the wrong course. It is a moral course and an unjust course, and a course that will kill and maim and cause suffering that will last for decades. So 40 years ago, I wish that I would have had you to speak to me. But unfortunately, I did not. And I joined the Marine Corps because I had been born on the country's birthday. I had been born on the 4th of July. And I went to Parris Island, South Carolina, to Marine Corps boot camp. I wanted to be a Marine. Why? Why? Because they had said that the Marine Corps builds men, body, mind, and spirit. You know, always remember that. Do you remember that slogan, the Marine Corps builds men, body, mind, and spirit? When I say those words, I cannot help but think of the images that I can recall in the years that, in the many months and years that were to follow. I spent my first tour of duty in Vietnam. I volunteered to go to Vietnam for the first time in 1965. And I spent 13 months in Vietnam. And I came home. And I remember I was very upset with the demonstrators, the peace demonstrators. How could they be demonstrating against this war when young Marines were fighting, young men were fighting and dying in this war? So I volunteered to set my own example. I volunteered to go back a second time to Vietnam. I went back to Vietnam and I said, I will show them that what we're doing in Vietnam is right and that we will win a victory in Vietnam. Now, this is what I believed at the time. And then on January 20th, 1968, while attacking a village in the demilitarized zone just north of a river called Qua Viet, I was shot in the right foot, and the bullet went through the front of my foot and it blew out the back of my heel. And I couldn't walk anymore. I was leading my squad into a village, and I had a battalion. There was a battalion of Marines behind me. We were the lead element of the attack. And then I went down on my hands and knees, and I tried to return fire with my M14 rifle. And my rifle jammed, and I couldn't use it anymore. And then I remember I just started to move, to lift myself up, and I heard a crack next to my ear. It sounded like a firecracker going off. And a bullet that was fired at my head. It would have killed me if I hadn't moved at that instant, that moment. But I just happened to move for some reason. And the bullet, instead of hitting my head, hit my right shoulder, went through my lung, and severed my spine, paralyzing me from my mid-chest down. I've been in this wheelchair, paralyzed from my mid-chest down, for the last 36 years. My life was never the same after that moment. And I remember a Marine came up to save my life and was immediately shot in the heart, and he died in back of me. And then another Marine came up a few minutes later under heavy fire, and he lifted me up, carried me back, dropping me, carrying me, dropping me, carrying me, until he finally got me to the rear. And eventually I was evacuated to an intensive care ward. I survived those first 2 weeks. I went to Japan, then back to the United States, and eventually back to Long Island, where I was reunited with my mother and father at the St. Albans Naval Hospital. It has been a long and difficult and challenging time since my injury, since my wounding. I became involved against the war in Vietnam. I was arrested many times, but I changed. I realized that I had been used in a war that I should have never fought in. And I began to raise my voice, like Fernando, against the war. And I was also told to shut up. I was told to be quiet after losing 3/4 of my body in Vietnam, after winning the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart, after serving 2 tours of duty as a United States Marine in Vietnam. I was arrested on Wilshire Boulevard for protesting the war. I was beaten up. I was called a traitor. I was thrown out of my wheelchair by undercover policemen who were posing as Vietnam veterans against the war in 1972. I was put behind bars. There were several trials. I was put on trial for trying to raise my voice against that war. In jail, in the Los Angeles County Jail, the police threatened to throw me off a roof when I told them. They asked me what my occupation was. And I said my occupation was Vietnam veteran against the war. And the policeman said, well, why don't you take this guy and throw him off the roof? So I endured threats for raising my voice and speaking out against the war. I'm here today to say what an honor it is to be here. How I wish that I could have been here 40 years ago, but I'm not, so we'll deal with today. We're dealing with today, and we're dealing with a war. And we're dealing with recruiters that are coming on to campuses and coming on into high schools, and they are leading our sons and daughters into wars that they should not be fighting in. Wars like the war in Vietnam that put me in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. I cannot encourage you enough to protest and to confront these recruiters. And I believe there is a way to confront. We must confront nonviolently and with dignity. And just as Fernando said, we must respect these young men, these recruiters who come to campus. Respect them. They have made their choices. They have made their decisions. But we also know, in our hearts, that there is a nightmare waiting. There is another side to this military experience. There is a potential nightmare waiting for these young men and women. And I don't want to see you or your generation have to go through what my generation went through. I'm not going to allow it to happen. We're not going to stand for it. I know it's wrong. I know it's immoral. I'm not going to allow you, students, to be harmed physically and emotionally. And I'm going to do all that I can to not allow them to lead you down this path. And I'm going to do everything that I can to lead you down another path to encourage you to believe that you can still serve your country and your community without killing, without picking up a rifle. God bless you and thank you very much.